So the thank you, Tom. The second speaker is Dr. Dolph T. Lentello, who's a fellow in the Vulnerability and Poverty Reduction Team in the Institute of Development Studies at the University of Sussex. Dolph has a number of research interests that broadly focus on the politics of policy and regulatory processes concerning food security and safety. He's currently leading a research program on Hunger and Nutrition Commitment Index, which is the title of his talks today. So I won't pretend to say any more about that. We'll let him do that.
Welcome, Bill.
Thank you so much, everybody. It's my great pleasure to be here this morning. I'm going to talk about sort of my talk is going to follow up from the two key points made by Mr. Manar early this morning in the keynote speech. First of all, when we talk about food security, we also need to consistently think about nutrition. So we need to think about food security and nutrition security. But more importantly, Mr. Manar highlighted the great importance of political commitment to do something about these two scourges. And I really like your clarion call, and you might want to sort of copyright it. Don't wait for political will. Will our politicians to act? I think this is a really important starting point for my talk, and I'm going to talk about how we might do this. At IDS, we've developed a Hunger and Nutrition Commitment Index, which actually contains two indices. One looks at the levels and comparative levels of political commitment of 45 developing countries. I'm not going to talk about that index today, there's not enough time, but I'm going to talk about the second index, which actually compares 23 OECD donors for their levels of political commitment, and it compares them to one another. Now, why do we want to do this? Clearly, political commitment is important. The FAO recognizes that. The Committee on World Food Security has made it very clear in one of its recent sort of strategies on the global strategy on nutrition and food security. But the key thing here is about sort of providing sort of greater transparency and accountability on what donors do. What efforts do donors actually make to support the reduction of undernutrition and hunger in the developing world? And so by making that visible, by producing a metric, we can generate a dynamic which can actually lead possibly to greater commitment. This is the hypothesis. It remains to be tested. So by showing who's doing what, making that clear, we hope that civil society can actually use this to engage in constructive dialogues with their governments and sort of hold them better to account. So this program of research is about sort of naming and shaming, very much so, but also about praising, actually giving governments sort of praise where due. And finally, sort of over time, we hope to assess actually whether sort of levels of political commitment actually matter in producing better sort of outcomes. But that's a very much empirical question that remains to be seen. So what do? We look at 23 donors, 14 sort of commitment indicators. And these commitment indicators, first of all, look at sort of patterns of aid, financial spending. What do these donors actually do? So we look at sort of spending on social protection, we look at spending on nutrition, on agriculture and food security, but also on sort of climate change adaptation and mitigation. And I think all of these factors we've heard early this morning in the various presentations as having sort of key roles actually in sort of generating sort of greater or better sort of nutrition and food security outcomes. Secondly, we look at sort of what do governments do in terms of living up to the financial commitments they make? Do they actually make the disbursements? And I can tell you sort of amongst this group of 23 countries, for instance, on nutrition sort of, on average, sort of 11% of commitments are not being disbursed. So this is an important sort of factor. If, you know, those countries, do they actually put their money where their mouth is? We think that's an important sort of commitment indicator. Thirdly, we look at endurance. Do governments stay the course? We know that food security and undernutrition are long-term issues. Yesterday's public lecture made it very clear. This is not going to go off the horizon. This remains a critical sort of challenge to humanity, and therefore sort of donors need to stay the course, you could argue. Secondly, we look at what donors do sort of domestically and in terms of engaging sort of with international community, collaborating together to addressing these issues. We think, first of all, it's important to look at coherence of domestic policy action. So think of climate change. Very good example, I think. It's very nice to provide sort of support, financial aid, sort of to mitigate and adapt, sort of help developing countries to mitigate and adapt for the impacts of climate change on the one hand. But if you're not actually, on the other hand, actually acting on climate change, what does that mean? You're sending out mixed messages, and these are incoherent sort of policy actions. Further, we look at sort of to what extent governments engage in sort of international treaties and international efforts to work together with other nations. What do we find? We're only halfway through. Good, and we're already at the findings. That's good news. First of all, we find sort of that actually donors championing hunger and undernutrition reduction are not necessarily the biggest spenders. So having a lot of money and putting a lot of money into aid is one thing. It doesn't mean that sort of, you're putting it sort of to its support of these issues. Secondly, our analysis shows that different countries show different levels of commitment to addressing hunger or nutrition. And this actually we also saw very clearly in the index for the developing countries. So commitment to reducing hunger is not the same thing as commitment to reducing nutrition. And lastly, we see that some donors who are known to be sort of strong donors who provide a lot of aid compared sort of to their GNIs actually are not necessarily sort of supporting hunger and nutrition. They can clearly do more on this. Now, this is of course what you are most interested in, the league table. So that's why I didn't start with this. I'll just keep you on the edge of your seat, perhaps. In third position, and this is only the first issue of the index, we're going to continue doing this in the next 2 years and hopefully afterwards in order to establish patterns over time. This is the flag of Denmark, for those of you who recognize it. Denmark, small nation, but it's a very strong donor in terms of supporting hunger and undernutrition. In second place, and I think previous speakers sort of spilled some of the beans perhaps for me, sort of highlighting sort of the strong performance of the Canadian government. The Canadian government is doing really well and supporting a range of initiatives. It's supporting the Scaling Up Nutrition campaign. It's been an enduringly good donor in terms of supporting agriculture and food security, in terms of supporting nutrition. It's staying the course. And in first position, we struggled when we were writing our reports. We felt a little bit embarrassed because actually our donor, one of the two donors who's supporting this work, is in the first place. So we felt somewhat embarrassed, as you can imagine. Sort of, are we sort of corruptible? I'd love to speak to the government of Canada after this talk, what we can do. Okay. No, but again, the UK is showing very good signs, particularly good sort of on supporting nutrition. But I want to say that sort of even though we produce this ranking, many of these countries can perform a lot better on particular indicators, one of these 14 indicators. So doing well doesn't mean that you can sit back. Actually, by showing specifically how they perform on each of the indicators, civil society groups and others can actually use this to advocate for further commitment. This is just a quick map showing sort of the distribution. We just clustered sort of the countries in three groups, gives you a quick idea sort of what that looks like. Now, finally, in the last minute and a half, what does this mean? Have we seen any responses to this index? Actually, does it allow us to generate greater commitment? Do governments respond? Does civil society respond? Well, definitely so. We've had tweets from your own Canadian minister showing his pride of sort of the performance of the country, but also sort of the Dutch government. And the Dutch government was actually one of the surprising sort of underperformers, I dare to say, in 16th position. As you see, so this is the head of food security in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs from Holland, saying, well, disappointing 16th place for the Netherlands. We are more ambitious than that. We are interested in the indicators to learn how to improve. So governments keep their eye on this index already in its first edition. So we think that's really an encouraging sign for us, and we certainly hope that sort of by measuring commitment, we can generate more commitment over time. A last quick note, sort of comment by sort of Duncan Green. He's a very well-known blogger on development issues, affiliated with Oxfam. He argues the value of the index will really sort of grow in future years. As the time series develops and allows NGOs and others to praise progress and to denounce backsliders. And you see between brackets, looking at you, Ottawa. So civil society is watching you. We hope that this helps to generate greater commitment over time. Thank you very much.